Good morning to you all. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. This is the Monday edition of the program. I'm David Ellis. My technical operator is John Stout. And we will be with you up until 2 o'clock today. Well, what can we say at the opening of today's program? All I can tell you is that as a person out here in this country, I live with a high degree of concern about what is happening right now as it relates to this COVID surge that we are facing. Barbados is now at 1,387 cases having been reported. And the latest count says 46, that's what it is, 46 more people tested positive. There is nobody in this country who can now come and tell us that this situation is stable and that we are on any downward trend or anything of the sort. We have a major problem. Barbados has to make a choice right here and right now about how it is going to deal with community spread. Having participated in that press conference on Saturday afternoon, when it was declared that we had community spread, a very important element was missing. And what exactly are we going to do and when? We were told that we would have to wait for a meeting of the social partnership. Unfortunately, we didn't know exactly when that meeting was scheduled for. I am told the meeting was scheduled for this coming Friday. I am aware that this situation is very serious, and I don't think anybody in the right mind would believe that we have the luxury of time. You see, one of the things that is happening, and I can tell you from my own experience with it, based upon someone close to me, but others are saying it too, if you look at what is being said on social media. Something seems to have gone wrong with the contact tracing. There are people who should have been contacted who are not being contacted early enough. We have a situation here where people who are positive are prepared to take public transport to get to any place they can to get a test. It therefore means that we are vulnerable, and particularly so for those people who are taking public transport. I certainly urge urgent action on the part of the authorities in Barbados. I do not feel comfortable with what is going on at all. And I don't feel we have enough time. Now, I recognize this issue of trying to strike this balance between lives and livelihoods. But, you know, I've been watching this disease from ever since, before March when we shut down. And if there's one thing that has come through to me, it is this. If you don't take control of COVID, COVID will take control of you. If you do not take decisive steps early enough to protect the lives and the livelihoods of the people of your country, COVID affects both of them. And the critical problem, the most important factor that I believe has to be assessed, is your capacity to cope with it. Now, you hear talk from the government about the facilities that they are setting up. But what they don't tell you is that facilities alone don't make it work. It needs people. It needs qualified resources to be able to do it. And you know, we've seen it. We've had to import nurses at other times. We've now, you know, we've got Ghanaian nurses, we've got Cubans, we've had to import nurses. But there are other specialties as well. And our last line of defense, I will say, has got to be the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. Now, last year, the government made a song and a dance about protecting the QEH from COVID. Well, we are not in a position to say it is now protected. So what are we to do? The Prime Minister of Barbados, no other minister, no health minister, nobody else. The Prime Minister of Barbados is the person who needs to tell us what is going to happen, and she needs to do so urgently. We don't have until Friday from what I am seeing and hearing. This is like when you see rats around the house. These COVID cases are springing up here and springing up there. And the Minister of Health tells you that they're all over the place, but more concentrated in one and two spots. When you see rats around the house, what they tell you? They tell you that you got far more rats than you see. And after we ran into trouble with the testing, that was the biggest challenge that we faced, because I dare say that many people were put in a situation where they didn't know their status. And because so many people are asymptomatic, people walk about and do all sorts of things. So I say that from a position of not coming here to be ultra critical and be negative and stuff, but to honestly say to you all that based upon what I am seeing and what I am hearing, Barbados needs to take some kind of firm action, and it should not rule out, in my judgment, a lockdown of this country to stop people moving all over this place in a high degree of uncertainty. Those are my opening thoughts. Let me hear yours. My view is not the only view, and my word is not the last word. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
And good morning to the listeners. Well, sir, Mr. Ellis, I want to know from the government if they are going to close down the country for 2 weeks to deal with this problem called out of hand. Every day you hear about a business closing down, you have to deal with this thing that's going on, the out of hand. And what are they going to do with the Zara vans? I observe on the vans, when the commuters, when the conductor gave back the commuters' money, none of them don't spread their hands, you know, they put the money in the bags. Even the conductors don't wash their hands. When you get on the van, you don't get no seats and wiping up, you just go back and sit down in that same seat. I want to know what are they going to do with these vans, these vans overcrowded. And none of them, all the commuters don't be thinking for themselves. They don't spread their hands. They will get back the money and just put it back in their pocket. None of them don't spread their hands, because I observe. And I hope the government do something with these minivans. There's some of the two overcrowded. They pack them up, one up next to one another. And it's not right. This is a serious thing that's going on now on the island. And we have to take things serious. And for these commuters, they need to spread their hands when they get on the bus, taking change from the conductors. Because this is weird. Put you, Mr. Ellis, this got you so frightened. And every day, here, about a bit, 1 minute, another day, a business closing down. Close down the country for 2 weeks. Don't mind that the UK already closed down for me. And thanks for them, because not for them, we were in a worse state. That the truth. And you had to thank Mr. Johnson, Prime Minister Johnson over there. Not all it, no. We still tell the people come over here.
Okay.
So I want the government do something about this van and about if they are going to close the country for 2 weeks. We have to deal with this problem in out of hand, in really out of hand. I don't want to hear the numbers twirl, because they tell me about our numbers going down. When the numbers going down, I don't know what kind of mask they're doing. They're doing a different mask to me. Anyhow, you have a good day.
All right. Thank you very much. There is something that I need to share with you. Back in June of 2020, you don't remember it, you know, but you know that there was a COVID response that was put in place. This COVID response had stages, definition and triggers, previously recommended actions, and additional recommended actions. And it mentioned this whole question of community spread. At 3A, it defined community spread as spread to contacts of contacts, or a case that has no known local contact. That was the definition in June of 2020. The previously recommended action, home quarantine for vulnerable persons with support, example, home delivery of foodstuff and pharmaceuticals once you reached 3A community spread. 3B, it assumed that by this stage, the system will be challenged. And what would constitute a challenge? More than 20 positive cases in a week. This is what the summary said in June of 2020. More than 20 positive cases in a week, or more than 50% of critical care beds utilized in isolation centers. What were the recommended actions? Mandatory working from home, both the public and private sectors, for non-essential services. Staggered work hours for COVID-19 essential services operational arms. Administration where possible to work from at home. COVID-19 essential services that interact with the public reorganized to limit numbers in the work and waiting spaces. That was 3B when the system got challenged. And 3C, system potentially overwhelmed. This is what they said, not what we are saying. More than 35 positive cases in a week. That was the government's projection of what constituted the system potentially being overwhelmed back in June of 2020. More than 35 positive cases in a week, or more than 75% of critical care beds utilized in isolation centers. Coming out of all of this, they said, these are the additional recommended actions. Continue disease surveillance with augmented case detection strategies. Isolation for adequate treatment of cases and containment of spread of COVID-19. Basic public health and social measures, and then refer to page one of the original document, that must be recommended and enforced until the end of the pandemic. Intensification and relaxation of the full array of public health and measures as appropriate. These must be based on economic and social considerations and can range from the basic NPIs, as they refer to them, that would be hand hygiene, social distancing, and the wearing of masks, etc., to all MPIs, including 24-hour curfew and nationwide lockdown. Now, this is the question. If the people who were involved in this exercise were not to be set up to be wasting their time, pray tell me why this particular plan has not gone into operation. Why did we go through all of that? Put this on paper. But as you sit here today, instead of this plan being invoked, we are being told about having to have a meeting of the social partnership and that sort of stuff. I would have thought that if we had gone to all of this trouble, the social partnership would have been involved in this process too, unless they were left out then. Something has got to be said about this. Why are we not using it? This is down to brass tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm calling from Boswell, St. Peter.
Yes,
now
ma'am.
Now COVID has come true, has been island-wide, not community island-wide. I am concerned about the water situation that we had in Boswell from last year, March, till now. Yesterday, Sunday, I couldn't even cook a proper meal of food. I had to go and wash at the community tank. Yesterday, we get a message saying that Water Authority going to lock off the system because we get back water last night. They're going to lock off the system from the 25th to the 5th of February, knowing that community spread with corona. What the government expects to be putting themselves at risk to go to that water tank when everybody at St. Gabriel have to go there. And not only that, the government is telling you when you catch this coronavirus in everybody that it's going to be an easy in and out from the facility. There's a lot of pain and suffering that goes along with this coronavirus.
What kind of experience have you had to come to that conclusion?
Not me. I know people that my family in America that have it, and they explain it how painful it is. And always say, be careful, because it's not an easy experience. And that's the news that the government should be putting out. They're letting everybody in Barbados know it's not an easy situation. We're suffering and pain. It's not easy. I'm scared. Honestly, I am scared. Very, very scared.
Well, I think we have every reason to be concerned, and we have to, you know, urge the authorities to come to us as quickly as possible to tell us exactly what is the plan for dealing with the community spread beyond what they've been telling us all along. And don't give us the impression that the only thing that we have available to us right now as a response to this is wearing masks and washing our hands and sanitizing them and keeping physical distances. Because clearly, given the resource issues, certainly more will be required of the country as a whole. So we need to find that out, in my judgment. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning, Miss Alex.
Yes, morning, sir.
Yes. There's something that there's a situation here where people are not getting the medication from out the hospital. And this has been neglected. You're calling, they're not answering the phone. Why say they're not answering the phone? Because at one point in time, somebody picked the phone and someone said, put it down, don't answer it. And I heard that. There are people with blood pressure, high blood pressure, diabetes, asthma. We can't get our medication. When you go there, they're telling you, call and order your medication.
Look, I think I understand what's happening here. I really believe that in all of this, there are some people who say, you know, you can't panic the people. And then there are those who will say to you, people need to know exactly what is happening so that they can appreciate the difficulties. My assessment is that the hospital is also under pressure, significant pressure. And if you look at the comments which I saw from the CEO of the hospital calling on various people with skills to come forward and assist the hospital. I think it was carried as an actual story overnight, indicating that retired nurses and nursing assistants and people like that are needed. I can anticipate, and so should you, that part of what you are going to face is a situation where, as the hospital had said since last year, even then when they were not under as much pressure, they were in a situation where normal duties were affected. And therefore, it is quite possible that this is what you are facing right now as well.
Yes, yes, I understand that, yes. But what are we going to do? Can't afford to buy it. Some people can't afford to buy the medication.
Well, we would expect that in the discussion about how we are going to deal with the community spread, one of the issues that we would have to confront is what are we going to do about the hospital situation? In other words, my assessment is that community spread carries various implications. It requires changes to the way we were doing things, radical changes, and that the hospital would have to be among the institutions affected by this. Not only the QEH, it should also apply to places like the geriatric hospitals, and the psychiatric hospitals, hospital singular. So that where we have all of these people that we have to look after and better protect, then we need to do something about it. It has to apply to public transport. It cannot be that you are saying that this thing is now community spread and we just continue with the way we were doing it before. Yeah. Because my sense is that it is likely to create more of a problem in another 2 weeks, another 3 weeks or so. Based upon what I have seen over the period that we've been grappling with this and how it has spread in other countries. I mean, yeah. Countries that got more resources than Barbados have decided, look, this thing is so serious that we cannot, we have to close our borders and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And little Barbados is behaving as though it can withstand this. The figures do not support it. So that is why it's not COVID that you're looking at, but you may well be suffering the effects of COVID.
COVID, yes. But Mr. Ellis, one more thing I must say. I want to say you're doing a wonderful job. Wonderful job bringing it, because you're saying things that we want to say. You're saying the things that we want to say, but we don't have the voice, so you're doing it for us. I appreciate everything that you have said, and you have a wonderful week.
I know one thing. I am not going to help this country as a citizen if I see certain things going on and I don't draw it to the attention of those who are in a position to make a difference. Because, you know, we live in different bubbles. I live in my own. I can't tell you that I know everything that goes on and that, you know, I'm the Bible. However, based upon what I do, I gather big bits and pieces of information from people. People come to me with information. Sometimes I have to go to people for information. And therefore, it is from this position that I speak about what I see and what I hear. Now, the people who are in positions of authority can match that against what they're seeing and what they're hearing and try to see to what extent, you know, there can be a response to the concerns that are valid. Because not every concern is valid, huh? But what I want to say, I want to speak to those of you who are in responsible positions in this country. Those of you who are vulnerable on the front line, who feel unsafe, but you're looking over your shoulder at your job to such a degree that you are heightening your own vulnerability. There is safety in numbers. Those of you who are living like that need to come together and speak with one voice, not in a way that suggests that you want to create an uprising, but to communicate to the authorities exactly what is happening in your area and how you feel about it. It makes no sense sitting down and behaving like a coward, only to find that 3 weeks or 4 weeks from now, you are going to end up in a worse position. And some of you can get sick. You got to do something about it in a mature and responsible manner. That is all I'm asking you to do. But to sit down there and depend upon the media to fight your battle for you and to ask somebody else to take up your battle for you, It doesn't make sense. Some of you are in really key positions to speak up and speak out about what is going on. But alas, we've come to a place in this country where too many people are just afraid of their very shadows. And people have no respect for you when you're like that. Trust me, they don't.